You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
This is from Danny O'Neill on Twitter. Dan, did you know in the Mariners' 44 years of existence, they have experienced more ruptured testicles, 5, than playoff appearances, 4.
Really? I remember one ruptured testicle. I remember a catcher. This seems awful. That position just seems awful.
God.
Yeah. People are now throwing 100 miles an hour, foul tip. Oh, look. The idea of everything that's happening in baseball behind the plate is intergalactically stupid because there's an old man back there, too. And just all of that, like being in a shield, and he's not necessary. We've got all the technology to eliminate it. The whole thing is stupid. Let's have the ball ricochet off his elbow or his knuckles or his shin. Or no, not his shin because they're protected in the shin. But off his foot, 100 mile an hour foul ball off of Stanton's bat. Like, think about this. If I put any of us back there wearing that equipment, we would poop ourselves. Every one of us. Like, if you put me behind, somebody's throwing 100 miles an hour at Stanton.
I wouldn't do it.
Why would you do it? And so I thought that one catcher with the Mariners, I think I interviewed him, because of course I did. As soon as, I wanted to understand, what does that feel like? Because that seems unspeakably awful. I don't know that I could put I can't put two words together for a man worse than ruptured testicle. It'd be real hard.
Do baseball players not wear cups? It's like it's a personal choice.
No,
thing.
I think we should argue about that the way we do about masks and mandates. Like, we should
research.
Don't ask me that. It's a personal choice. It's a personal matter with me and my family. I don't like to wear a cup. I believe in freedom.
Didn't Tim Kirchen say that Adrian Beltre never wore a cup?
Yeah. Hot
corner, no cup. That's dangerous.
I mean, catcher, no cup. You're an insane person. You're a psychopath if you're a catcher with no cup.
The most dangerous of games right there. I mean, seriously.
What's missing on this whole thing is they've had 4 playoff wins.
forgive me, Tony, for stopping on the 5 ruptured testicles, which seems like, you know, that probably leads. I'm going to go ahead and say nobody's ever been better at anything than the Mariners are at rupturing testicles. I'm going to say they lead all of baseball history. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do the Mariners need lead all of baseball history in ruptured testicles?
The Mariners are the Tom Brady of rupturing testicles.
Even better, I would say. I would put this on the poll as well. What's harder, winning six Super Bowls or rupturing five testicles?
Who was the catcher you interviewed? Do you remember?
I can't remember. I've been searching for his name. It was a Latin guy. I've been searching. I feel like it was a backup catcher, but all you need to do was go Mariners ruptured testicle catcher. And I'm guessing
because the most recent ruptured testicle for the Seattle Mariners is a catcher who missed 665 days of action.
Not enough.
Began with a ruptured testicle.
Not enough. Should have been more. Should have never played again. Would you blame anybody? Well, I wouldn't blame anybody who quit on the spot, said, just send me all my health insurance and I don't want to do this anymore. Not if this can happen again. Ruptured testicle. Not where I thought we'd be starting today.
I'm glad we did.
That's my bad.
Put it on the... I need more information. I need more information on the ruptured testicle. Put it on the poll here, Gamble, at Lebatard Show. Was last night's football like awkward sex with your ex? Patriots and Bucks, and it was emotional, and Brady didn't play very well. He was just okay. That game was won for him by nobody can run against those people. Those giant 340-pound people, the Patriots, 8 carries for -1 yard. And Belichick didn't even bother. He's like, I know I can't run against them, so never mind. I'm going to turn this into a bunch of passes that feel like runs.
It feels like if Belichick had Brady, the Patriots win that game, the field goal goes through. Those are the things that happen when you have the greatest of all time in Tom Brady.
Well, it's a great ending for Brady, not just because he wins, but because we were all sitting there saying, well, you've left him too much time.
Right.
You've left him. Even if they make the field goal, yes, it's perfect for Brady because he gets credit for that comeback, even though he didn't have to actually do it, because we were all like, he's going to beat you anyway.
I thought that was like a little disrespectful of Bill Belichick. Like, oh, we're going to go for the field goal because I know Tom Brady won't be able to come back in 50 seconds and score the winning touchdown.
I was surprised that Belichick did not go for it in that spot. That's what he does, right? Especially from that distance, even knowing Nick Folk has been really, really good. But I was still surprised to see Belichick not try to end that game.
That's tough call.
Dan, you leave yourself open for Brady doing what Brady does, which is coming down on your home field against his former team and getting them in position to kick a game-winning field goal, which goes through the uprights because the Bucks now have Brady. That's how it works.
It's hard to criticize the field goal call, though, because he had the distance. He was just off by, like, what,
by nothing,
3 or 4 inches?
There you go. That's the difference in that league. Just all the time, every weekend, it's the difference between 4-0 and 2-2 all over the place. It's the difference between 1-3 and 3-1 all over the place. It's an absurd thing as you're watching this sport all the time, and the sample sizes of one every weekend have so many close games. Like, I don't know who's better than Washington, Atlanta. Go ahead. Heineke's just throwing the punts up in the air, and they're being caught in the end zone. And I'm like, okay, I don't know who's better here.
Well, you know what? I do know that Atlanta will always lose like that.
Right.
For as long as
yes.
I live.
Yep.
That's the one thing that I'm assured of, is that Atlanta will lose like that.
Okay, fair enough. I suppose so. They'll always lose and it'll feel like a ruptured testicle, but I'm watching that game and I'm like, I don't know who's better here.
I thought last night's game, though, was emotional. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching it. I thought the fans handled it very well. Belichick went and spoke to Brady finally after the game for 20 minutes, walked into the Buccaneers locker room. Like, I thought all that stuff was kind of neat and kind of fascinating. And that's a game in Foxborough in the driving, pouring rain that we've seen Brady pull out for Belichick 1,000 times. And last night he did it for Tampa. And I thought that was kind of fascinating to me.
How come we're not starting off the show calling Belichick a look at me, Larry? Was that what Amin called?
Monty Williams, Monty the Williams? Coach of the Suns.
I mean, went going to the locker room, making this about himself, going to do his like.
He's also very well dressed last night in the pregame. Bill Belichick, more well-dressed than we've ever seen him. Very look at me, Larry.
They were so respectful to each other, though. And Brady finally admitted afterward that it was an emotional week for him, and he had nothing bad to say. At every turn, they didn't give us a syllable of the stuff we wanted, right? It was all gratitude, all 20 years of amazing, all we know how hard this was, and nobody else in the world knows how hard it was. And it's okay. It ended up being okay for everybody.
I thought Schwartzy had the most most intense comments about the game last night.
Schwartzy.
His words were stronger than Brady or Belichick's.
What did he have to say? I haven't heard any of his words.
Do you know who Schwartzy is?
No, I don't know anything you're talking about right now. I saw there was a guy. I thought you guys were talking about a football player because there was a Schwartz running around out there that I hadn't seen before. So I do not know who you guys are talking about. Who are you talking about?
So yesterday during the Sunday Night Football broadcast, NBC decided to run graphics from comments that they sought from fans. And one graphic that went viral on social media is from a fan who goes by Schwartzy from Ashland, Mass. I wish I could do a bad Boston accent, but all I've got is Martin Sheen.
Cochran.
Cochran. That's all I got.
So you can't do any of you do a Boston accent?
I'll try.
What makes you know that Schwartzy is from Boston, since I don't know what this is?
Boston.
Danny's from Boston.
We're in a dangerous game here. I believe it's a woman.
Okay, yeah. We're playing a dangerous game.
Yeah. I think Schwartz is a woman. And it says here, I'll cheer for him when he comes out. That's all I got. But after that, nah, I want some sacks. I want to see how friggin' linebackers just pummel them and punish him. They run this on Sunday Night Football coming back from a commercial break. Here's the fans' thoughts on Tom Brady's return.
I think Schwartz, he might be a made-up character by the NBC producers.
Let's accuse them of that. Let's do that. That seems irresponsible journalistically. Put it on the poll. Is Schwartzy a made-up character from the producers of NBC's Sunday Night Football?
If Schwartzy isn't one of Bill Simmons' cousins who was planted in this broadcast, I don't believe anything anymore.
Schwartzy was on the BS report in 2013, breaking down the B's an hour and 20 minutes into the podcast.
Your Boston accent was not terrible. I'd like to talk about some college football, Stugatz, because we get so engulfed on Sundays that so many great and fun things from Saturday end up vanishing too fast around here. I'm not the guy who rails against, in sports, people misbehaving while, you know, urinating on sportsmanship. I am shocked that in 2021, a guy in a South Carolina uniform on defense picks up a fumble. This is a guy who doesn't get to score a lot, picks up a fumble and runs toward the end zone in a game that his team is only leading by a touchdown. So he needs to score this touchdown and put the game away. And before he gets to the goal line, flips the ball away. And I'm not the guy, Stugatz. I want everybody to be having fun out there, showboat, swagger, all over the place. But I thought this would stop the moment it happened to DeSean Jackson 20 years ago. I thought it would never happen again. DeSean Jackson, I think it happened to him in high school, where one time he fumbled because he tried to do like a somersault or something before the end zone and the ball came out early. And then in the pros, and DeSean Jackson, more 50-yard plus catches than anyone in the sports history, Stugatz. So it's a guy who's used to scoring. But I thought the moment that he flipped the ball away and it cost him a touchdown — touchdowns in those sports are hard to get. Cleveland, Minnesota game yesterday, the Houston game — it's hard to get touchdowns. I thought I'd never see it again. And it happens every couple of years. Am I the idiot for thinking?
It happens like four times a year at various levels of football. I can't believe it happened more than once.
I think it almost happened to DeSean Jackson again, like a second time in his career. He almost did it a second time in his professional career. Yeah, I guess I'm surprised by it. I'm looking at it right now. I just crossed the goal line. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
But I feel like such an old person yelling at a kid, just cross the goal line. Just, it's a half a — you can wait half a yard to flip the ball away casually because you have swag. Half a yard later.
It's almost like they're trying to time it on the precise moment that they cross the goal line, so it has this this explosion of joy when you can do it 6 yards into the end zone. It's okay.
As Dan said, it made it a 6-point game. It was a tie game at the time. I got to be honest, if there's no one around you, it looks pretty cool. Like, the refs can't let him get away with it. Like, even if it's a half yard early.
No. Cross the goal line.
All right. I mean, we sound so old.
I just can't believe there's people playing sports and, like, walking this earth with this little amount of anxiety. Because if I played football and I had a wide open path into the end zone, I would run into the end zone and wait for the signal before doing anything
else. You'd be scared. Terrified. You'd run. You'd hold the ball very close to your body, then run up to the ref, and then just hand it to him. I understand that we don't have the confidence of these athletes who have swagger. There is no swagger in this room athletically. But I just don't understand the...
You have been watching Tony's Instagram
Tony's
stories
Instagram lately. He has been showing off his corner three,
Dan, you
on
must
Instagram.
Have not been on
he has
Instagram
been wet
lately.
In recent times.
Dan, I pulled up from about 40 feet
so
in a
sad.
Game. It was wet.
Yeah, there's a 5'4" bald guy driving into the paint and kicking out to Tony for three. It's so Miami.
Laz, I love you.
Can I do something that's going to make me very unpopular in this particular room? Why does everybody tag the show's Instagram account when they're doing anything just for kind of like the rub? Like, let me get the show to retweet me shooting threes, or Chris Cody. Let me get the show to retweet
Chris
me
Cody,
bowling.
Don't do it.
So that they can get clout off of the show reposting, doing kind of like mundane things in everyday life.
Well, Billy, the reason why is because we're trying to show you a little bit into our lives behind the camera. So I want people to see, hey, look, I'm really out here doing this stuff.
Bro, it's all about the clout.
Thank you.
I don't.
Do you not get it, bro?
I don't get it, bro.
You don't care about clout, bro?
We've talked about this, bro.
Yeah, I mean, people want to see, like, here I am on a Thursday night. People must want to see me shooting threes, or, Chris
correct.
Cody needs to let us know that he bowled a 200.
That's a great score for Chris Cody. I'm excited about that. When I saw that, I was like, yes.
Me too, actually. That made my Thursday night.
Yes.
I was glad that he posted that and
maybe
tagged
you just don't like
show.
Us.
But you could have seen that on his Instagram. What does that have to do with the show?
Are you jealous, Billy?
Yeah, are
I'm
you
jealous?
Billy?
I just don't understand.
Are you a little jealous? Everyone else is getting love on the Instagram.
Billy,
account?
What are you doing? Are you showing your personal
I'm
life?
I'm living my life
to people, but I understand. But you're living your life and videoing it, or not showing it to people?
And not much. No.
So you're hiding in the shadows of the internet, and you're very controlling of not showing people your life. Isn't this what people do?
No, it's not that people are sharing. I don't understand the point of tagging the show when you're doing things that have nothing to do with the show.
So more people see it.
You're looking for the extra rub, though. That's...
No, but I feel like in the show's brand, it would have to be failure. It would have to be Tony clanking 10 straight
so
threes.
So does Tony not get the show? Does Chris Cody not get the show? Because they're showing off athletic achievement as if they are athletic.
Well, hold on a second. The reason I do it is to show that Chris Cody's... It's more of a rivalry between Chris Cody and I than anything else, right? Because then he's putting up stuff and I'm putting up stuff and we're just kind of battling.
But when we go back to like Lake Tahoe, no one was posting the good shots. We were posting Greg Cody's bad shots, right? Like that's what people want to see. They don't want to see his good
shots. I heard that Friday... What happened when you guys golfed on Friday? Because did Greg Cody produce an amazing shot? Did he make a shot from 130 yards?
I have been forced to rearrange my top five golf shots of all time. I addressed this in Weekend Observations.
What?
It was such an amazing shot by one Greg Cody. I have been forced to rearrange my top five golf shots.
Okay,
I want to do it now.
But see, that would be something that would be put on social media and people would enjoy because he's a 65-year-old. Useless person.
Terrible at golf.
Terrible. I mean.
You know what? Let me explain to you what just happened there. You laugh, Jessica, but I'm going to explain to you honestly what just happened there. I went through my mind, through a file cabinet in my mind, and I was woke and grabbing bum, and I threw it out, and hobo, and I threw it out, because and homeless, and I threw it out, because now it's unhoused. And so I just went trying to clean it up. To useless person, which is really worse. It's really worse, I believe, than all those phrases I just used. So that's what happened there. That's why the pause was there.
It was the most accurate term, though, I think.
Oh, man. Cutting to the core of Greg Cody, man.
Man. I mean, we had so much fun.
Harsh insults.
I will tell you, I haven't rearranged my top five golf shots since Mike hit the shot back in 2019. But Greg has forced me to do so over the weekend. And Tom Watson's pitch out of the sand, 82 U.S. Open, I believe, is no longer in the top five.
Wow.
I hate to say it. Wow. That's unbelievable.
That good a shot. Okay, but I want to get back to what Billy's point was here before we get to more football nonsense. Billy, I think you're right that unless it's Greg Cody's athletic achievement, we should not be out here as if we have any swag while condemning the Deshaun Jacksons of the world for flipping a ball before they get to the goal line. I think you've got it right. They're doing it wrong. It's got to be funny and awkward and us bad at sports, not wet Tony from three.
But I mean, but it's also like, it's like a pickup game.
It is not a pickup game.
It is a pickup game.
It is not a pickup game. It's a league. It's not a pickup game.
It's a pickup league.
It's not a pickup league. We're all on teams. I'm picking up Dan off the bench. It's not happening.
I am with Billy's more timid social media presence.
And this is going to be rude, but I don't think it's as impressive as you think it is.
I don't know if you saw that three. I mean, Dan, it was impressive. I'll show you now, Dan, in the break. It was impressive.
Tony's impressive, all right.
Thank you.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA play-in tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Dan Le Batard.
I mean, they used to call me Chris Karaoke.
Stugatz.
Karaoke. That back row is bringing it today.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz, what happened to your Gators this weekend?
What do you mean?
One of the funniest things from the sports weekend, I thought, was the Kentucky football team tweeting out the viral video of that guy in sandals and socks who got an alligator in a garbage can, or tricked an alligator, because it's not a very smart animal. Tricked an alligator. It's got such a small brain. It's the Greg Cody of the animal kingdom.
I thought you were going to go Stugatz. I really did. And you should have. I mean, and you're beating up on poor Greg Cody. He's not here to defend himself.
What happened to your Gators? What happened?
Because they're not my Gators.
Well, you made them number two in the country.
They still are.
You said they were. Yeah. You said they should be number one in the country because they lost to Alabama. That's what you said.
They lost to Alabama by two and had a chance to tie the game late in the game, late in the fourth quarter. And that's all we should look at as it relates to their resume. I don't care about the Kentucky game. Okay, that's the only thing we should look at. That
just
team
end their
came
season.
Close to beating Alabama. Yep. They did.
I think that was Kentucky's first time winning against Florida at home since 1986.
Oh, my God.
Lane Kiffin, Spencer Hall came on with us and predicted that Alabama would lose and predicted that Florida would lose. And Lane Kiffin, you saw the interview he did before the Alabama game where he's like, get your popcorn and through your headset. You can't go down 28-0 after that.
You can't. You can't go for fourth down three times in the first half, fail on all of them.
No.
Including on inside your own 30.
It can't be get your popcorn and throws the headset and gets heads back into the school. He's been an agitator to Nick Saban here for a while. A fly around an elephant's butt.
It feels like to me that Alabama, especially this year, the distance between them and everyone else is larger than
it's
ever been.
Not Georgia.
We'll see.
No, but no. Come on, Stugatz.
Okay,
Georgia is physically manhandling everything put in front of them in a way. I can't wait to see it. It's not a foregone conclusion. I don't think anybody listening to this who's been watching college football would just, after seeing what Georgia did to Arkansas.
Right.
And how much, that's a physical Arkansas team. And to do that to Arkansas, I think most people listening to this would say to you, no, Georgia's defense absolutely has a chance against Alabama.
I have no idea how good Clemson is. I'm not certain Arkansas is.
Clemson's terrible.
Clemson's over. Clemson's,
okay, but those are the teams that Georgia beat. So my point is,
they're not over. They're not as good as the last 5 years.
But
that's
it's over.
But that's who Georgia beat. And my point is, I need to see Florida play Georgia so I can determine how good Georgia is. I know Florida's good. I have no idea if Georgia's
any
good.
So now Kentucky's good too, right?
Well, yes, Kentucky by extension is good, but I need to see Kentucky play Alabama. You see what I'm saying? Everyone has to play Alabama, Dan.
We got to play transitive property like four more times through before we can actually judge if anyone's good or not.
Yes. All right. Well, we spend a lot of time. You guys say this, so let's do this then. We have spent a month delighted and obsessing over football as if a pandemic never happened. It's like it has felt good to be on Sundays watching all this stuff and all this athleticism, and the game is fun, and last night's game is going to get a monster rating, and it has felt over the last month, football's taken over again as it always does this time of year. Poor baseball.
Right.
Poor baseball yesterday. That's every Sunday on steroids is football, and they tried it one day. Here are all our games at 3:00.
Right.
They all matter. They all there are a million permutations here that matter, and it got swallowed by football.
I mean, you started going up against the witching hour. Bad idea.
Okay, but beyond that, it's not just that you're going up against the witching hour. Nothing in sports and nothing in television can do that, because football's got an unbelievable place in America. But baseball can't do a lot better than yesterday. I mean, that Giant team, that story is crazy. What is it, 107 wins? The Dodgers are they've got more money, more talent than anyone in the sport, but couldn't somehow catch the Giants, and now have to play a wild card game against a Cardinals team that has spent a month straight winning.
The Dodgers had 106 wins. They have one game for their lives.
No, it's amazing. And so, but baseball, what I'm saying is baseball can't do better than this. And Yankees and Red Sox walking off for their playoff spot, and it gets engulfed by Washington Atlanta.
Yep.
In football.
Mm-hmm.
But we talk about it so much, and a month in, with four games of sample, when none of this will matter in 2 months because everyone will be hurt and all the rosters will change. When I ask you who's good, all across both sports, both college football and pro football, who do you know is good? Because the Chiefs are 2-2, and I know they're good. Like, they're, what do you mean, eh?
2-2. I mean, they've lost twice.
We all know the Chiefs are good. And that might not be in 3 months if Mahomes gets hurt.
Right.
If one injury happens in these violent sports.
Is the Raiders for real? Are the Raiders for real? Are the Cardinals for real?
Ugh.
Because they're 4-0. Their offense is awesome. And yet, I've got some doubt.
Yep.
I still have doubt about Arizona.
As you should. You don't know if they're good.
Wait a minute. Why should he? I think it's the
Cardinals.
I think it's the second time in 40 years. So you're going to do it based on, okay, let me see what you're doing here. It's just the Cardinals because you're going to blame somebody who was playing in 1994?
I mean, they haven't been good since Kurt Warner. You're talking about the Arizona Cardinals, Dan. They don't have a long history of being good.
I think this is there in 40 years. I believe this is the second time they've started 4-0. But Tony yesterday, wet Tony with the corner threes.
And top of the key, Dan.
Proclaimed the Cardinals the best team in football yesterday. Because Tony's takes have swag. He proclaimed the Cardinals the best team in football. Now you got Whittingham saying, I have my doubts. But Whittingham, if you have your doubts about the Cardinals, then who don't you have doubts about?
Mahomes.
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
The 2-2 Chiefs.
The Bucks as well. It's just, I mean, like, defensively, they've been decent this year. And obviously, like, Kyler Murray surviving 17 games kind of scares me because he runs a lot. He hasn't finished the season healthy. It's just, yeah, it honestly is just their logo. It's the fact that I haven't seen them play in the 4:00 window for years. And I don't trust that team even still. I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury, as smart and as good as he is at constructing offense. He was still a 500 coach or an under 500 coach in the Big 12. There's something about Arizona. I just don't entirely believe in them.
You feel pretty confident in saying the Bills are good, right? They're good?
Yeah, that week one performance, though, is so odd. Like you just talk about outlier performances.
Steelers are done. Steelers went to Buffalo and won.
How did that happen?
Go ahead and explain
that. Because they didn't have any injuries on their defense yet. Now they're all banged up. The defense can't bail out the offense, and they're a disaster. That's how it happened.
What's that like for you to watch as someone whose entire fandom, the Steelers have been relevant and good the entire time you've cared about sports, correct? The Steelers have never looked this done.
They went 8-8 a couple years ago. That was pretty sad. That was the year that Mason Rudolph finished the season.
That's like the highlight of my last 10 years is 8-8. Please. Steelers fan complaining over here. Okay.
Boo. So things we would do for an 8-8.
Ben Roethlisberger age. How terrible. Get over it.
I have standards, Whittingham. I have standards, and I'm not happy.
Whittingham, let her have it. No, this is ridiculous.
No, this is like we were talking earlier about Boston sports fans suffering. Why are you still suffering? You've won so many championships. You've done so many things. Your team goes at least 10-6 is a down year for the Steelers. And now, we went 8-8 once. Yeah, that's like the highlight of my last decade.
Whittingham, who hasn't had a good quarterback the entire time.
You're right. I'm going to keep talking shit. It's great to be a Steelers fan. Even when we suck, I have bragging rights over almost every single team except maybe the Patriots.
But it's over, though, and everyone's laughing
for
at
now,
you.
For now, it's over.
Because your quarterback can't...
We'll be back.
We'll
trade for Jimmy Garoppolo at the trade deadline, maybe trade for an offensive lineman. Maybe we'll get Aaron Rodgers next year. Maybe we'll draft someone. I don't know. We won't be down for long, Dan. That's my point.
Well, Jessica,
it's the Steelers. We're a proud organization. We've only had 3 head coaches. Did you know that? 3 head coaches since the 70s.
I never heard this before.
Bill
Tell me more.
And Mike Tomlin. The Steelers will be back.
Jessica, we have learned this week in another college football game we have not gotten to yet, which she was doing some expert analysis on television about. This has been a very bad weekend for Jessica. I don't know what I can say and what I can't say. You were out last week, and that seemed unpleasant, everything that was happening around you last week.
Yeah, I'm dealing with some issues in Florida that I will not extrapolate on for personal reasons.
Okay.
So I was out of town.
Okay.
Issues.
Thank you, Billy. I appreciate it. I'm sorry to have put you in that position, but she had a bad weekend is the point. And I have just learned, because Jessica's new here, she's uprooted her entire life to be with us here. I have just learned that Jessica is a fan when she loses Notre Dame or Pittsburgh. Not graceful about it. Dirty. When she loses, doesn't just eat it the way a losing fan has to eat it, but lashes out in all directions at the Cincinnati Bearcats, who have had nothing, they're a top 5 team, biggest win of their lives. And Jessica said, good luck when you lose to Alabama 44-3 in the Orange Bowl.
I mean, all they've had is miserable weekends. You can't let them have one weekend.
I was proud of them. I tweeted the
proud,
Kamala
proud.
Harris waving with the binoculars
is
gift.
That proud, proud
and
of them.
And people were like, Notre Dame doesn't win any playoff games. I'm like, that was the point. I'm passing the torch. I'm saying good luck against Alabama, waving them out of the stadium. Enjoy it. Have fun. It sucks. It will be the biggest game of your lives, so enjoy it and have fun. And I hope you make the playoff, because honestly, I've always wanted a group of 5 team to be able to make the playoff. So if it's Cincinnati and Notre Dame has to lose along the way to be part of their hero origin story, so be it. That is my cross to bear.
But to Whitty's point, I mean, you're a fan of the Steelers and Notre Dame. Do you know how many good weekends you've had? All we've had
so
is
many.
Dolphin fans and Jet fans are bad, lousy, awful, terrible weekends. Every single weekend is the same for us.
I lost to Virginia on Thursday.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up, but while we're on
Mendenhall.
The topic, that was a...
How did you flip that loss into like some sort of charitable effort on behalf of the greater good?
It was falling so on your patronizing. Yeah. So like patting Cincinnati on the head. Oh, good
I'm
luck.
Happy for them. I am.
No,
I'm truly
not.
Happy
no,
for them.
No, you're not. You,
I'm
the
happy
nation
for
discovered
them.
Your team is a giant fraud this weekend, and you are not happy about it.
Giant
fraud.
Okay, hold on.
Giant fraud.
Let's back up a second.
A giant.
Let me back up a second. Find me a single Notre Dame fan who thought that they were going to be actual playoff contenders this season. I think most people thought this would be probably a 10-2 year if things go well. That still looks like it could be
good
the case.
Luck. Good
it's
luck
on
getting
the table.
A 10-2 of that team.
They have no more ranked teams on their schedule the rest of the season.
Billy, I'm sorry, but Billy is an anarchist, whether it's with your social media or not. But Billy, you've sat out much of this discussion as Whittingham and Jessica lose their minds screaming at each other. And you did this to Mike on Thursday, and I saw it, because at the same exact time that a field goal hit an upright and, and Miami lost to Virginia, Billy just tweets LOL. And there's nothing else there. And this is how Billy does it. A syllable or three letters at a time. That you just pierced Mike Ryan, whose heart sank into the floor with embarrassment. You pierced him with an LOL.
Did you tag anyone on the show?
No.
Just let it sit there.
I'll have you know, I got a stern talking to, because I was in the middle of editing God Bless Football on the Friday stuff. And then I had it on and it was like 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh my God, I just need something. And I'm watching, I'm like, they cannot possibly blow this game, right? They can't do it. And Manny's going to go crazy celebrating this win, and it's going to be embarrassing. And sure enough, doink, right off the field goal post. And I laughed out loud. Like, I was like in a dark place, and I was just like, and my wife's like, the baby's sleeping. Shh. I think everybody that, even like UM fans, laughed at that, right? Everyone laughed when that happened.
All six of them that were at the game probably laughed, yeah.
I love you, Billy.
Where's people been? Like, I've been looking for people. This seems like a pretty good season for people. I've missed him so much. He disappeared to the pandemic. Do we know if he got the Rona? Do we know if people's okay? I haven't heard from him in a long time.
His body, his choice.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. Because I saw Draymond Green, Stugatz, getting a lot of applause for something this weekend. Even Jay Williams got in there and said, great leadership from Draymond Green.
LeBron did too.
Yeah, so I want to talk about this for a second, even though I know a lot of you have already chosen sides on whatever this stuff is that we can't agree on. Faith, Fauci, masks, mandates. And I know many of you listening right now, like this has become so political and so polarizing that I'm probably speaking to most people who just generally agree with our leanings on this stuff, which we would file under try to be unselfish. Like, just try to think about somebody other than yourself. But Draymond Green gets out there and puts his voice for 2 minutes on freedom and saying correctly, because he's not wrong about this part, when he says, why are you pushing this so hard? The reaction to the people being pushed, athletes or otherwise, whether it's about facts or science, is going to be like, I'm put off by this. You're coming on too strong. Wiggins is now vaccinated after not wanting to do it, religious exemption. And basically, he's been forced into doing this thing that many people don't believe is American, to put something in your body, to force something in your body. And so they put their fists up on this.
Right.
But why are you pushing this so hard? The answer is because more than 700,000 people in America are dead. And there's a vaccine available that helps with the math and the science on this, and it's being rejected by people who are saying, nope, freedom, freedom, freedom. And then it's science and facts. No, those aren't science and facts. I choose my own facts. And I don't really want to fight with you about that anymore. Like, I'm tired. I've got I'm not even kidding you, Stugatz. Like, there is no greater poison in my life right now than how dispirited I am by just, can we be a little less selfish? And the answer is no, okay? The answer, again and again, is no.
But you're broken in a way where it's like, hey, if you don't want to get it at this point, just don't go get it. That's it.
It's not that I don't want to argue anymore. Right. Like, I don't want to argue. Because the arguing's not working, Stugatz, because I'm seeing Draymond Green applauded. And I'm like, the answer to your question, why are we pushing this so hard? Because more than 700,000 Americans are dead. And the math and the science suggests that if you do this, if you just do this, you will help other people because, and this is the dispiriting part about the selfishness, is I see the world burning with climate change, Stugatz.
Right.
Like literal fire and flood that's apocalyptic. And the UN reports are like, code red, science got this one wrong. They underestimated. Like, apocalyptic, biblical, your atmosphere is falling apart, is coming, according to the nation scientists, not religion and politics, the nation scientists, and a notoriously conservative organization that's saying, holy shit, code red on climate. Code red. Because we keep digging for fuel and need a little extra money. as Bezos flies in space. And I just want it to be less selfish, just a little less selfish, because you're not putting on a mask or getting vaccinated just for you. You're doing it for someone else so that it doesn't have to be more than 700,000 dead. And I don't want to fight with people about this. Like, I don't want to be like, you hate Bill Maher now. You hate, we're all taking these sides everywhere. And I don't want to keep fighting about it. But when I see Draymond Green being applauded for just saying freedom, freedom, why are you pushing this so hard? I get why you would reject that. I get why are you pushing this so hard for an athlete, for anyone else? Off. Like, just don't push this on me. No, I'm free. I'm American. I'm proudly American. I'm free. No, I get why you would say that puts me off. And I agree with that part for Draymond. But why are you pushing so hard? Because please save lives. Like I get it. Some of the numbers are overinflated. Like, hospitalizations, if you get this, is like 1% to 5%. Like, it's not very high. What? Just hospitalizations, not death. Like, the chances of it really harming Draymond are not great. But right up until it kills Draymond's, Karl Anthony Towns' mom.
Right.
Like,
ask about his experience with Karl Anthony Towns.
But it's not about yelling. It's about what happens is in the tone and in the argument of it and the reaching through the politics of it, it really is a cry for help. From the vaccinated, like, please help. These people don't have to die. And to have shouted back, no, freedom. Like, it's as if I don't believe in freedom. As if I don't believe, Stugatz.
Right.
As if I don't believe in freedom. Mm-hmm. My, you know, parents, exiles, leave Cuba. Everything that happened at ESPN was all about freedom. And I just want to reach Draymond and be like, no, man, you're not doing that for you. You're doing it for me.
Right.
You're doing it for, you're not, the masks and the mandates and the vaccines are sort of forcing you. And the answer is no, I'm going to be selfish about this and I'm going to cloak it in the American flag and freedom.
90% of the league, or 95 now, I guess, is vaccinated, and they're concerned about the 5% who are not.
They're going to be forced to do it.
They don't want to give it to you, and they don't want to get it from you. It is that, like, to me, it is that simple. And it doesn't mean that I don't believe in freedom. It doesn't mean that you don't believe in freedom. I believe in the science. And I believe in the fact that I want to live.
But I get that why others wouldn't. I get why black people wouldn't trust science or the government or America or anything else. Like, I get that part. I'm not even arguing. Like, so to be pushed on like that and to buck on it with pride like Draymond would, like, no, bleep off. I'm free. I don't have to do what this country has done to my people before. I get that viewpoint. And I get bucking on, like, don't push on me. I'm Draymond Green. I'm like the best post defender in the league on people bigger than me. You know what the odds are on me from Michigan State climbing through what I climbed through to get to where I got? No, man, bleep off. Get off me. You don't tell me what to do with my body. You have no earthly idea what it takes to keep this body the way that it is. Don't with my body. Totally get that. Like, how could you not understand that? But it's the next step. It's not about your body. It's about grandma's. It's about just this thing spreading. It's about this virus of selfishness that is producing this other virus and allowing it to spread. And I don't want to shout at people anymore about this. It's wearying for all. It's as wearying for you listening to it as it is for me to deliver it.
But I think you have to, and you have to keep beating that drum.
No, but I don't want to fight. Like, it's not something.
It's not. Dan,
it's as simple to me as people are dying. Can you do whatever you can to stop that?
But wait a second. I have, in our mentions on social media, there have been countless people who, where we discuss this or we have a guest on and they discuss it, and they go out and they get vaccinated. And so maybe you don't feel like you're having an impact or making a difference, but you are.
It's not, the intent is not to grandstand. I'm just telling you that in our, like, just what's happening in the world right now. Like, yeah. I can't, people wanted with this
exhausting,
freedom.
Yeah.
With people wanted with this freedom for me to go and it'd be a fair ask of me. Hey, Dan, why aren't you talking about immigration and the shit show at our border now? You politics guy, you libtard, you know, you're all left, you're all woke. And I'm horrified by everything that's happening on the border through whatever the political administrations are, because through the selfishness that has now contaminated America, our leadership all across the board blows. And politics is contaminated and the world burns. And I want to talk about that, but let me go ahead and stop your fun conversation that you were just having, which is better radio, better podcast, the fun around sports that people come around here for. I don't want to plague this thing with sermons and virus. I want to just laugh with my friends too. But what surrounds us is crazy. And we're fighting over all of it. And I don't know how to just get back to LOL. Like, I want to just, that's what I'd like to live over with Billy in the corner throwing grenades from the shadows at Mike Ryan. That's where I prefer to live.
Notre Dame did not lose to do Cincinnati a favor. I'm sorry, that's ridiculous.
It wasn't to do them a favor. They lost because they were not the better team. Cincinnati was the better team. And as a fan of Notre Dame, I'm happy for Cincinnati fans.
That's a lie.
It's just a total lie.
I'm happy for that.
When have you ever lost and been happy for the team that you lost to? That's never happened to me before.
Well, you wouldn't know what it's like, Mr. Dolphins Miami fan.
I mean, Woody, you weren't thrilled for Ohio State when the flag came out late. They won the national championship.
Oh, it was great. Celebrating a national championship and having a flag take it away. Oh, I love that moment.
Cincinnati did
so
do
happy
Notre
for
Dame
Ohio
a favor.
State.
They saved you from losing again in the college playoffs.
That's a good point.
I'd rather lose in the college football playoffs than play in a a New Year's Six game. I think that's a ridiculous argument that people get in every year. It's like, well, would you rather lose in the playoff to Alabama or Georgia and get blown out on a national stage or win the Fiesta Bowl? And it's like, I'd rather play in the playoff. Who wouldn't rather play
in
the playoff?
But you just did this to Cincinnati. You just sent them away to lose 44-3 in that same game. You just did this to
them.
Well,
they deserve the chance this year. They were the better team. I think I legitimately, all jokes aside, think that it is time for a Group of Five team to make the playoff and to be...
I've seen a lot of people put Cincinnati in top fives and top sixes and Kirk Herbstreit's ranking them high. How annoyed must UCF be right now? Yeah. So UCF went undefeated, but Cincinnati's getting hyped after four or five games UCF never got?
They're not going to get there, though. Cincinnati is not going to get there. They don't play anyone good the remainder of the year.
Yeah, they're
going to
go undefeated.
There. Yeah, but they're still not going to get there.
That's not true. Like, the season has been crazy enough this year. Florida already has two losses. Clemson has two losses. A lot of the top, Oregon lost this weekend. A lot of the top teams are going to have one or two losses. Cincinnati's going to make it in if they go undefeated over one of those teams.
There's a top four. Do you guys know there's a top four matchup in college football this weekend?
Yeah.
Iowa, Penn State.
And one of them's going to lose.
Three against four. Get excited.
If you put Iowa and Penn State, you combine their rosters, how badly do you think Alabama would beat them?
Oh, that's a great question.
Four touchdowns.
Put it on the poll. Put that on the poll, please. If you combine the rosters of... Let's do this. Yes, because we are holding all of Iowa's history against them.
They're still the same team.
Yep.
It's still, was it Ricky Stenzel?
Yeah, every year. You can go back further to Chuck Long and Hayden Fry. Don't you dare test Hayden Fry. He will take you to the woodshed. He is the baddest coach in the history of coaches.
Wait a minute. Why we obsess over Kirk Ferentz every year? Why hasn't somebody come in and grabbed him like Urban Meyer?
He's not a good coach.
You think he's happy with his situation? You get in a position where you're coaching for that long in the same place, there's really not a lot of incentive to leave if you're happy with it. He's got a good, a decent team every year. He sends guys to the NFL. It's a comfortable job.
The reason I say Cincinnati won't get there is the Ohio State kind of crawl back into the playoff discussion has already begun. And you have Michigan, who's undefeated. So one of those two teams likely going to get there. It's not going to be Iowa. It's not going to be Penn State. And then you have Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma's just always there.
No, because we're only in week six now, and a lot of these teams have yet to play each other, and then there's going to be conference championships. So, when there's this many losses to other conference teams early in the season, you're going to have more two-loss teams in the conference championships, and then someone's going to have to lose. And then if you have an undefeated Group of Five team who's already ranked in the top five, as long as they win out, they're not going to drop in the rankings. They're going to make the playoff, I think. And I think that's great for college football.
But Winningham is bringing up the point that UCF could have been national champions under these circumstances.
And I think that's true. I think they absolutely should have had a shot to make it into the playoff. But They didn't. And so this might be the thing
they
that...
They didn't come anywhere close. Like,
God, their fans are obnoxious.
Oh, so annoying.
Some of the most annoying fans in college
sports. We won a national championship. No, you didn't.
So. Yeah, no, you didn't. You didn't even play in
the game. You weren't even close.
No. You beat Auburn in a Peach Bowl, okay?
A bad Auburn team. They weren't even that good.
You know, if we're talking claimed national championships...
That Auburn
sudden,
team
like,
beat Alabama. This is the standard. No, this is where we've gotten in the sport. Alabama's losing is bigger than any other team winning. That's not a good argument, Tony. Bad.
I forgot they lost Alabama then.
Pretty convincing argument.
So did history.
It was a fluke play, though,
no,
right?
Listen to me.
It was, exactly. It was a fluke
no,
play,
are you guys
yeah.
forgetting?
The field goal
we did this
right,
already.
On.
I was screaming
was
up, I was screaming up and down
10 years earlier.
Trying to get UCF to be national champions, and nobody would listen to me. Everyone got mad at me. We got a trophy. If we go through that schedule right now, Whittingham, we would find that UCF had no path. They had to be the martyrs so Cincinnati could be this. And UCF beat good teams that year. Like, they legit, they didn't beat Notre Dame. That's what you need to do. That's the standard. You beat Notre Dame, and all of a sudden, we'll give them credit for that one victory, even though Notre Dame is a giant fraud, as Billy called them, a jawed.
Well, I think you have to give Nailed Cincinnati it. Credit for scheduling a hard team and taking that chance, because that is, you have to have
a
marquee
win. It's not a hard
win team.
Notre Dame's not any good. Toledo almost beat them. Florida State almost beat them.
I agree, but they were ranked ninth going into the game. So whether or not they're good doesn't matter, because you're the seven-ranked team, Notre Dame's a home dog, and you win.
There's
so that's
good
on your resume.
One good team poop. That's what it is. One good team and poop. I won Penn State and poop.
Three against four. And you know what? College game day's not even going. They're going to Texas, Oklahoma. Because even they're like, come on, Iowa and Penn State.
This is funny,
please.
Though, because this
no,
is...
No, they're like, we don't want to go to the Fox game again.
This is the whole sport tilting right now. We're all going to be watching just the SEC in a few years.
Especially when Texas goes.
And nobody's going to be watching Iowa State.
We're just watching Alabama, Georgia.
You guys have such Southeast bias.
No, this is what's happening in the sport. The minor league... led by Alabama, is now creating its own football entity that will exist between that and whatever I was pooping.
Look, I'm just saying, I spent the last 10 days in a Big Ten state, and everyone up there, they care more about the 12th best team in the Big Ten than about watching the SEC. I went to a bar, Dan. I watched four quarters of Rutgers, Michigan at this bar. And I asked, can we please turn on the Clemson-NC State game? This is going to be a close game. I have a feeling about this one. Clemson's offense is not very good, and it's close at halftime. And they said no, because now we have to turn on, like, Michigan State. I can't even remember. Maryland? I don't even remember who they were playing. It was just, like, two terrible Big Ten matchups.
It was Western Kentucky.
There you go.
I had Sparty.
was it a real game that week? Or?
It's unbelievable.
I think they played.
Whittingham, how furious. The secret thing that people don't understand is that Whittingham genuinely gets enraged by all things Stugatz. Enraged the way he does about the Dolphins being for 20 years not being able to give him a quarterback. Because I can't believe I'm saying this, but Jessica comes from privilege, man. Like, she doesn't even realize where her privilege and the way, and it's obnoxious to talk about Notre Dame and having a quarterback as if every fan base gets that.
Me, privilege, Dan? No, please. Oh, please.
Wait a second. Don't you have two schools? Clemson and Notre Dame,
the two of the seven best
really
football programs in the country.
Yeah.
Me,
out of here.
Privilege? No.
What a front runner. Like, what is she doing? What is that? You can't be a fan of both of those teams. You got to choose one.
I went to both schools. Why can't I be a fan of both teams?
Choose one right now. Notre
Dame. Okay. I have already chosen Notre Dame.
Big mistake.
I cheer for Notre Dame when they play Clemson. I shouldn't, but I have historically stuck with Notre Dame. But Clemson's my number two team, just like the Bears. Looking good this weekend with Justin Fields.
But Stugatz, to have football feel so good, as we were talking about, and for all of us to feel post-pandemic sports joy, because this is, hey, Sundays, this feels a little more normal in sports. What the Dolphins have done to their fan base for 20 years is cruel. And as much as last night was a celebration of Brady and Belichick, and wasn't it amazing? I'm telling you, there should have been on an alternate channel. I'm mad at ourselves for not doing it. a celebration of how shitty the rest of the AFC East has been throughout their 20 years, which created a cheat code that allowed them first round buys every season. So they only had to play a couple of playoff games at home, and they went on a historic run because these teams, the Jets and Dolphins, still at the bottom of the standings, right down there now with the Patriots who have fallen because they lose Brady. And now look at what you're watching in that division. Where Josh Allen is going to, if he doesn't get hurt, a quarterback I said was terrible, is so revolutionary because he's got all the gifts you need now. As you can't really game plan for what Josh Allen and Kyler Murray, there's no game planning for it.
No.
Guys, when they take the pocket and say, hey, it's going to be 7 seconds of playground ball here because you're just not going to be able to catch me back here
right.
because I'm a Lamar Jackson hybrid and I got aliens running all over the field, and it's going to be really hard to stop us because you can't, in all of the scheming and all the McVay and all of the moving of parts as this sport changes, you can't do anything about that. There's no coach. Saban gets undressed by the running quarterbacks. That's the only people who beat Saban are the Manziels of the world, who because there's no game planning. The lack of control in Kyler Murray running around getting you 8 seconds when Brady, the pocket's closing on Brady, 2 seconds, 2.5. I'm going to be this robot of meticulously being the pocket passer as the sport changes all around me.
Yeah, if Allen stays healthy, they'll have a Patriot-type run through that division. I'm not saying they'll win the Super Bowls, but they'll win that division just about every year. What did you want on the other channel, though? Like J.P. Lossman hanging around? Like, what did you want?
The host has to be Ryan Fitzpatrick because he's played for all three of the other teams in the AFC.
He's the star of the network. Wait a minute. Let's do this. Let's create this show right now and see if we can get any of these guys signed on at Meadowlark Media. The host of the show is absolutely Fitzpatrick because he's played for all of them. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a maximum fine.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.